Bhavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaveryam Karavavahai Tejasvinavadhitamastu Mahvidvishavahai Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Okay, so we are on the chapter 11. Any questions? I mean, so far I went through that, what is servitorship, then what is devotional service in friendship, then how do we surrender everything to the Lord, then why should we offer favorable article, then how do we offer our endeavor to Krishna, and then how does Lord act when we surrender to Him. So now, it's here the last point of the 11th chapter, then why should we serve trees such as Tulasi? In the Skanda Purana, there's a statement praising the Tulasi tree as follows. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the Tulasi tree, which can immediately vanquish volumes of sinful activities. Simply by seeing or touching this tree, one can become relieved from all distresses and diseases. Simply by offering obeisances to and pouring water on the Tulsi tree, one can become freed from the fear of being sent to the court of Yamaraja. If someone sows a tree, Tulsi tree somewhere, certainly he becomes devoted to Lord Krishna. And when the Tulsi leaves are offered in devotion at the lotus feet of Krishna, there is the full development of love of Godhead. So, see, like watering Tulsi Devi. Now, we hear there are so many nice benedictions given if you offer water to Tulsi Devi, if you take care, then Krishna will be pleased. But you should not see it as just a ritual that, okay, now we committed sinful activity, okay, so then let's go, now pour water on Tulsi Devi, go around, and then all the sinful activities are destroyed. That's not proper understanding. Similar like to the Vaishnava apparat, this will be another apparat. The committing of the sinful activity on the strength of the holy name. So what is the strength? Why Krishna talks about, the devotees talk about so much about how powerful worship of Tulsi Devi is? What is that? Yes?
She is a confidential servant of Radha and Krishna.
Right.
She is making arrangements in Vrinda.
Right.
Another meaning of the name is Vrinda's forest.
So she is a devotee. Intimate devotee. So we render service to that intimate devotee in the form of Tulsi Devi. Then Krishna is very pleased. we render service to any other devotee who is very advanced, Krishna will be very pleased. So we should not take it as a ritual. Okay, there is Tulsi, I should offer obeisances, offer water, go around. But there is another senior devotee and I should just pretend I don't see him because I just don't want to talk to him. That's not the meaning. That's Kanishta. We should see that offering prayers, offering water to Tulsi Devi means that we are serving a very elevated devotee. And then we offer water because she is here in form of a plant. So then the water, it's an offering to her. We see other devotee, we have to distinguish between how can we render service unto him. Maybe we can offer him some prasad. Or offer him some chadar, or in summer then can fan. Something may be there. There is always something which we can offer. Or some water for drinking. Not to water, but yes. So we have to discriminate. But if we are ready to render service for a Vaishnava, Krishna will give the intelligence to us to figure out how we should serve the Vaishnava. Then we advance. But if we just stick to a ritual, I'm going to offer water to Tulsi Devi because that will remove my sinful activities. But I don't care for anybody else. It's Kanishta and it's not very elevated. So we have to see the principles behind our activities. Not to misuse them or not to misinterpret them. So worship of Tulsi Devi is a worship of Vaishnava. But she is very intimate devotee. So pleasing an intimate devotee of the Lord will very much please the Lord. That's the point. Yes?
As far as I remember, this is an expansion of a point that has been in an earlier chapter, and there it's mentioned the Panchakshri as one of the things that we're worshiping. So why are we worshiping the Panchakshri?
Well, you see, you may actually consider all the trees, and especially in the Holy Dham, they are all Kaparvriksha trees. So you may consider any tree you can worship and you will get the benefit, because they are all Vaishnavas. We may not see it, so then we may really consider it, but it does not really matter. Uttama Ardhikari, he sees that. So so that's one aspect. We can see even the tree as a potential devotee. So if we can serve the tree as offering some maha flowers, charanamrita, then the tree benefits immensely. So the soul within the tree can go back to Godhead, in that moment even. Or at least the next lifetime it will get a human form of life and then will be able to himself work on elevation. Now specifically certain trees, they have a very auspicious elements even in this material world. Banyan trees are in Goloka. There are certain kind of trees which are surrounding the Goloka, the lotus, which is in Goloka, then on certain on certain sites, so on the north, there is a banyan tree. So why would banyan tree be in Goloka? Krishna likes the tree very much. So if Krishna likes the tree, then why we wouldn't worship him? So we can understand that from that point of view. We serve the tree because Krishna likes. Now, Srila Prabhupada, no, specifically, he didn't talk anything about it anywhere else. But in Nectar of Devotion, he does mention that. It's one of the items. And it's mentioned by Rupa Goswami. So at least what we should do, that if we don't go every day and don't water banyan trees around, then at least we should not disrespect. We don't have to do that with any plant. We don't have to do that with any animal, with any insect. So at least as much respect that we don't disrespect. And then if we have the opportunity to save some animal or to give some help, then we can do. Yes.
The question about the example in every town.
Sorry?
Every tree is, you mentioned like a Vaishnava.
Mm.
But sometimes there is a need to, like a few days ago, I remember, cleaning here to cut many living entities, the form of grass or like that. Huh? So, when. How can we say that every habitant nowadays is a Vaishnava and reconcile with the cleaning system, or to cut trees when they are old, or not putting in a proper position? Some trees are not close to a building, so they can damage the building.
Okay.
Like that, no? So how can we reconcile that they are like Vaishnava and at the same time we need to remove them?
Okay. You see, so we are doing certain service,
yes.
Right? So then in the mood of the service, then we are trying to accommodate everybody as we can.
Yes.
Now if some obstacles are there and some tree is in some place where it's an obstacle,
yes,
to the devotional service we want to perform, and there is no other way how we can go around it,
yes,
then we will cut the tree. What to do? See, like in Vrindavan, the tamal tree was in the middle of the courtyard, and Srila Prabhupada adjusted the whole plan how to build the temple around that tree. But there were other trees, I'm sure, and those got cut. So one has to have the vision to be able to understand what to do. And that can be done when we surrender to the Lord. So we are trying to do our service to the best of our knowledge. Like you have a park and you want to build something there. So then you can plan ahead, a year ahead that you want to do, so then you can start doing procedures so you can move the trees. Because even big trees can be moved. So that way you can save them. You can put them at the proper place and you can save them. If you don't plan, and then just a few days before you want to start, you start cutting them down, then this is not the best. That's our fault. And some reactions for that may come. But if we are doing our best, we are trying to, you know, please the Lord, so sometimes some tree may have to be removed. The grass has to be removed because it's going to, you know, overgrow. And in fact, cutting grass, it's not killing the grass anyway. It's like cutting hair. So we have to know what we have, what we can use, and how we can do it. To make the place beautiful, no, it needs maintenance. We maintain it, then people come, they see, and we can preach. When we preach, Srila Prabhupada is pleased, Krishna is pleased. The Vaishnavas are pleased. But if we would do it whimsically, not just for because we want, oh, I don't like that tree today here, so I'll just cut it down. It's not bothering anybody, it's not doing anything. To cut it down just like that because we want, it's an offense. So we have to know what we are doing. So therefore, our activities has to be based on Guru Sadhu Shastra. If they are based on our mind, then it's very likely we are doing offense. So, very careful, especially in the dham.
There used to be some kadamba trees, very nice, on that part, where the new temple was coming, right?
Yeah.
Have they transplanted them?
Those could not be.
No, very big.
Those could not be. They were too big.
Are we, in this case, that you're too big, and definitely the Vaishnava saw that, no way. Do the trees get benefit for being in the dham?
They do, yes. They do.
As far as I remember, they also made a yaka for the people to start cutting them down.
Yeah. So, is this point understood? That it's not a ritual, you know, by just doing something or, you know, just performing, going to see, say, holy places. It's said that seeing the holy places, yes, it's very auspicious. But seeing the holy place, you know, on its own as such, it's not the meaning. It may be for some other, you know, people with some other, you know, agenda. But actually visiting holy places means that association of Vaishnavas. Going to see holy place and not to remember the past time, what happened there, not to have association of the Vaishnavas, it's very dry. You will not really get much of benefit. So, when we perform activity, we should know what we are doing, why we are doing it. What is the best way to do it? Then we benefit.
When you visit a holy place, is it okay to associate with the Vaishnava in form of a book?
Well, it is, but if there are some other Vaishnavas, then you can,
I mean,
you can go.
There is no. Sometimes you go, we just went to Harihara, there was no one, so we read the first time. And
That's okay. Go to the temple here, read the first time. No, you can talk to the pujari,
yeah,
if he's there.
You put a lot, you just have it, we could
see him. Yeah. Sometimes it happens. Yeah, so remember the past time. And if you are not alone, then there are a few of you. So then you can maybe visit the local Vaishnavas there, if there are some. Yeah, that's okay. Why should not be traveling, say, like, you know, very long distance, going to Himalayas, you know, to see, say, Gangotri, just for the sake of seeing Gangotri. Ganga is a Vaishnavi, so then we can remember the pastime of how she appeared, who is Ganga Devi, and then the Vaishnavas there. And we can do many activities, maybe do some Harinam. We can, chant japa, we can go around. There are plenty of activities which we can do to actually please the Lord. But just for the sake of going, there, just to be there, it's not the ideal. So we should, it may be we can use it as an excuse to go, but actually the real reason should be that we want to, as a saved Vaishnava, we want to actually elevate ourselves.
In that movie from Bhakti Charu's song, The Series of Bhakti, there's one pastime with Bhaktisiddhanta. His senior disciples go to visit the holy place and are late for the class. Mm-hmm. And then he says, if you don't hear from your guru, you can't see. You're seeing this useless, and he was really very
Yeah, and that he also actually, noticed and very much appreciated that Srila Prabhupada was present on all his classes, even though others would go somewhere, also visit, do some parikramas like that, yeah. That's the power, that's the meaning of, perfume activities based on Guru Sadhu Shastra. If you don't know the instruction of Guru, if you don't know how to see, your interaction with the devotees or with the material world, with anything, if you just base it on your mind, then it will be most likely wrong. Where will be your reference? How will you know what to do? So Guru describes, and even reading from Shastra without explanation of your Guru how you should see it, it may be very misleading. Guru and Sadhu are extremely important. And then, once we know instructions, once we know how to deal with the local siddhartha buses, once we know what we can expect, what we should look for, then going to visit holy places have a meaning. Okay, so then that so we'll go for the next chapter. Or any questions here? Anything on this chapter? Or even the previous ones then? Is there anything?
Well, I read later on that you mentioned about, you're talking about the bunyan tree. Is it because Krishna likes it so much that always Lord Shiva, you see him there and there's a little somebody is worshipping him like around the roots?
Well, that's over here. No, that's Mahadev just, besides that.
When the previous was another bunyan tree and there was another
one. Yeah. It's not specifically, as far as I know, it's not specifically in each bunyan tree. No,
not in each, but...
Yeah, it can be residence, yeah. Because bunyan trees can be huge. And you can actually make a house inside the bunyan tree. And it's a very nice place actually to have. I don't know if you ever went to Calcutta, Botanical Garden. There is the biggest banyan tree in I think Asia maybe. It's like around the diameter is I think around 100 meters, something like that.
That's crazy.
If you go there, it looks like forest because the banyan tree has like a branches and it puts the roots. But there are many roots, and each root looks like a tree. It's really dense. If you don't look up,
that actually not looks like forest. So they are huge. So Krishna arranges, you know, the place, it's a nice place, so then Maharaj stays there. So he supervises who is coming into the dham.
Yeah. In these little Shiva temples, we should pay obeisances and ask permission to come in.
Well, Maharaj, he specifically, Krishna give him the function. So even if you don't go, still, you have to have his permission. And then to visit the temple of Shiva, it's not a problem. But we always see Mahadev as the best of the Vaishnavas. So we don't worship him as the Lord. We see him always as a Vaishnava. And it's no problem coming to his temple. Maybe, yes. Okay. Yeah.
So the two other questions that were in the essays, one was why the five items I can't remember exactly how the question was worded, but why they're more important or most important. I don't think I have it there.
Okay, it was the out of the 64 important items of devotional service listed by Srila Rupa Goswami are five very important ones. Which ones and why? Well, they are listed, and then, so why are they listed? Why Rupa Goswami considers them as the, very important? Five very important ones. No. So, what's the reason? He can choose any, and he can choose any number, but in fact he considers these five as very important ones. And if you look at it, then these five actually have to do something with the direct devotional service. Chanting of the holy name, residing in the holy place, reading Srimad Bhagavatam, worshipping deities, and associating with the devotees. If you follow these five, then you are doing everything what you need to do. See, chanting of the holy name itself is enough. But then the danger is that you may not know if you are committing offenses, if you actually are doing it properly. So then the association of the devotees. Then how do you come to know the Lord? If you are pure, then yes, by chanting of the holy name, you will realize the name, form, qualities and pastimes. But then, and then you will constantly be in the pastime, so you don't have to read about. But until then reading is important because that will remind you about the Lord, so you don't forget. Residing at holy places, so then that will benefit you. So you will get more opportunity for the devotee association. And worshipping the deities, the same thing, so you don't forget. So in the sarana bhakti, these five are the most important. See, for Srila Haridas Thakur, then he does not consider, worshipping of the deity is not so important. But that's not for the devotees in general. That's for him. He is fully absorbed on the Lord by chanting the holy name. So he doesn't need any other stimulus. He doesn't need any other process of devotional service. He is happy with that one. And he is fully absorbed in it. And that's why he is Namacharya. But he never says that it's not good. You see, this is what we very much misunderstand many times. Oh, no, Harirasa Thakur says it's not the best. So we should not do it. It's a nonsense. We take it out of context and we don't know what we are talking about. Here it is. It's for us. Now, if you can get fully absorbed, same like Harirasa Thakur, in the chanting of the holy name, forget sleeping, forget eating, and always remember the Lord in the form of the name, you don't need to worship the deity. You don't need to go for Mangalarati. You don't need to go anywhere because you are fully absorbed. But until that time, then Sarana Bhakti is for you. So we have to really, really be careful not to misinterpret what the acharyas are saying. Yes, that's there. Yes, because each of them actually stimulates some process of devotional service. Some directly, some one, some few. But you follow this, and then you will find some way of some of the 9 process of devotional service which will attract you. A devotee who gets attracted by worshipping the deity, he will achieve perfection. He achieved Krishna Prema by worshipping the deities. So, there is no doubt in that. So for him, the worshipping deities will be the most important. Because this is how he always remembers the Lord. But he will not say that chanting of the holy name is not important. He always does chant holy name because he's always absorbed in the name and the form. So, same like among the devotees. Now, we understand something and we are good at something. So, if everybody does what we know how to do, then that's good. But as soon as somebody does something else which we don't understand, then we say, oh, that's not important. Why is he doing it? It's very easy to say, but it is a nonsense. Okay, we don't know cooking. And then we don't really care for eating healthy or eating nice prasad, right? So it's not really important. Why should we cook? Why should we spend 3 hours a day cooking? It's a nonsense. You can just go buy some bread, put some butter on, eat it. It's good. What is this? So, and then those who spend the time, they are wasting time, they are Maya. That's nonsense. You don't know what you are talking about. So then, how can you even say something like that? You don't know what's going on. You don't know how much time Srimati Radharani spends every day cooking for Krishna. How much time Madhyashara takes preparation about and cooking. The cooking and the culture about the cooking and eating takes most of the part of the day. Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is one quarter basically of Chaitanya Charitamrita, something about eating or serving or cooking. Big part of Chaitanya Charitamrita is of that. There are many shastras describing what does Krishna like, in which mood. For Srinathji, then they have whole book of what is Srinathji wearing that day and what is he eating that day. So many descriptions. So how can we say it's not important? That's because we don't have understanding. That's because we don't know. We read something and we think, oh, it's like this, or oh, that's not for me, or so it's bogus and nobody should do it. That's because we are ignorant. But if we would approach Guru and Sadhu, then they will explain to us how to see the Shastra. And then it will be clear. So we have to really see it exactly as it is in the context, and then how we apply it in our situation. Somebody else may apply things differently because his situation is different. And it's not wrong. But because we don't understand how he applies it, we criticize, that's wrong. First, find out what is he doing. Why is he doing? If you don't care what is he doing, or you don't bother with, don't criticize, it's the first thing. If you are not interested, or you have no any attraction for what he does, then okay, just leave him. If he is following Guru Sadhu Shastra, he will benefit. And you see, sometimes devotees are so narrow-minded. Go for book distribution, and then, yes, we are the best in the temple, and everybody else is not just in Maya. And I had actually heard that. That the pujaris, no, they don't do anything the whole day. We have to go out and distribute books. The cooks are not doing anything. Those who clean the temple don't do anything. This is total nonsense. We have to get out of this. Yes.
In the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 6, I think, verse 32, there's a lovely description where Krishna is saying that the perfect yogi, because he understands what the other people go through, he's completely aware of all the happiness
Dhira.
And distress.
Yes.
So he's able to hear. So what I understood from that is that as we become a higher devotee, a higher yogi, our ability to hear, comprehend, put ourselves in the position of the other increases. That is a symptom that we are getting nearer to.
This is the compassion of Vaishnava. Vaishnava knows how to engage himself in the service of the Lord. An elevated Vaishnava, he knows how to engage others. Now, he knows if the Vaishnava or if the devotee doesn't want to get engaged in that, there's no point of pushing. He can encourage. How does Vaishnava encourage somebody in devotional service? By example. So again, we are not at the same point. We should, first of all, improve ourselves. Make sure that we are doing what we are supposed to do. To be good example for others. And then others just they will be so inspired, they will follow. And if they don't want to follow, then if you are, you have good understanding, and you are in leading position, you should find a way how to engage that nature of that particular devotee in devotional service.
So our listening ability, we need to have a little bit like, we need to listen to
him. Yes, observe. You see, it's not just in spiritual matters. I mean, even Chanakya talks about, and that's niti. He says, don't become a guru, a king, a teacher, or a parent, if you cannot elevate your subject in spiritual knowledge. Because you will commit offense. And you see it, no. Nowadays, no, which government cares for spiritual knowledge? And which way it's going? In the schools, how many teachers care for some spiritual education? And which way it is going? It is very clear. So we have to be knowing this. We have to be applying that. So we apply what we learn. We learn from letter of devotion, from Bhagavad Gita, from Bhagavatam. We see, we hear, then apply. You apply, you live what you learned. Then you realize. And then if others don't do that, it won't bother you. How much does bother you that others eat meat? Do you get bothered by it? It's not good, but if they really want to do it, what can you do? Show example. You can live without meat. But if you get all upset and and to the extent that you cannot do your devotional service, then it's pointless. Vegetarianism, it's not the goal of Vaishnavism. Even so, some devotees do present it this way. For preaching, yes, you may use some technique, or you may say, but we should understand it's not the conclusion. It's one of the means, one of the ways which is beneficial for. But you see, like in Ahovalam, there is a place where Nrsimhadev appeared to a tribe, and the tribe offers meat to Nrsimhadev. And Lord takes it. He accepts it. I don't know if he eats it himself or he does give it to some other, but he appeared in the tribe to please them because they are so devoted to Nrsimhadev. And even to this day, they once a week they offer him a meal. So that's not the main point. The devotion is what Lord is looking for. But if we don't understand that, if we don't apply it in our own lives, how can we let anybody know about it? And then we start to find some techniques, and we get caught up in those techniques that we stop even discriminating between what the Shastra says and what is some new age technique. So we remove even our own Shastras. We don't read Bhagavatam, we don't read Bhagavad Gita, but we read some of these new ages books. Because yes, these are good. Leadership by De Bono. We don't have to go for leadership to any of these people. Look at the life of Pandavas. Look at the life of King Yudhishthira. He is a leader. He was the leader of the whole earth. What else is there more? Dhruva Maharaj, young boy, so determined, he gets what he wants. Isn't it enough?
That's what you're saying makes a lot of sense. And my wife is reading the Mahabharata with first you. I'm studying Vedita here, so it gets kind of like we have some discussion. And she was looking at Draupadi and how she was a housewife.
Mm-hmm.
And she had 100 1,000 maids, a big number. And she knew the name of each one. And she would set a service. She knew exactly what each one was doing. And she would only go to sleep after everyone was looked after, everyone had been taken care of. And then when she looked at that, she said, wow, what can I do that in my life?
Yeah.
So, here's the first sincere question. Can a new age tool be a bridge?
No. See, there may be some ways how you can use it, but there is a danger that you get misled. So to use it as a tool for your own spiritual advancement is extremely dangerous. There is underlined the mentality of the people who write this book, who give these instructions. And ultimately, it is, well, let everybody do what they want to do. Don't disturb. So at the best, it's Pranamoy platform. It's nothing more than that. I am okay, you are okay. Nothing more than that. So yes, helping each other and like, okay, it's good. For what purpose? We were discussing about the beggar, so you go and, yes, helping him, that's good, so I'll give him 100 rupees. Do you give him any service? You only do to him this service. Because of this, the person who takes it from him, he gets more powerful, more lusty, and he employs and tortures another children to get more for begging, because he knows that this is a good place. So, it's a sentiment. It's based on that, the New Age is based on that.
Yeah, you're right. Maharaj also said that if something works, it's based on the Vedas.
Yes, it is.
So, for the healing principle, we're talking about healing.
Yeah.
Many times, I got an instruction, which is very valuable, but along with it, there was a lacking of being in the spirit, being accepted as I was. So, even though the instruction was perfect, in the relationship, something was missing.
Mm-hmm.
The feeling of being understood where I was.
Mm-hmm.
Not that was the ideal, but that was where I was. And I needed to move on. Even if it was very ugly and I didn't like it. So, sometimes some of these New Age techniques present, not some, not so very little, but same principle as the Gita, which I mentioned, empathetic listening.
Mm-hmm.
So that you know what's going on with the person, and you can put aside our beliefs for 1 second until the person processes, and then you can do it. Is that helpful, or you think no?
It is danger. See, because you see, like with Jyotish, right? So you may go, and then you may feel very pity about yourself. So you want to know, yes, I'm right, that something happened to me, or that I want to hear, what will be good for me to do. But all these are based on your karma. And then as long as you are very much interested in the karma, you have to be part of the karma for the karma to happen, be it good or bad. So you want to know, okay, yes, I had some problem in previous life, that's why this lifetime then I'm suffering like that, so knowing about it makes me feel good. But that only kind of like, so this lifetime I will not do anything like that, so the next lifetime I will be okay. So we are all focused on ourselves. It's I and mine. Aha mameti. But if we focus, yes, okay, what was there, what was in past, let's not consider it. There is something much more beneficial, something much more pleasing. In the future, if I perform my activities as a devotional service right now. But no, we like to be seen kind of a, yes, I justify that I'm in this situation because of before. It's ignorance. And it has nothing to do with devotional service. It sounds nice. It sounds nice. But that's about it. It is a dangerous thing. Even like a Jyotish. Jyotish is used the astronomy, and from the astrology then to see Muhurta. Srila Prabhupada always encouraged to start things at the right time. But the part of predictive astrology may be dangerous if not used properly. I know one devotee and he wanted to get married. Right? So then he asked one astrologer, should I get married to this lady? He said, no. Okay. He goes to the next one. Asks, should I get married to this lady? He said, no, it will not be good. It's not a good match. Okay, he goes to the next one. Next one says, no. It's very bad. It will not last. Okay, he goes to the next one. He says, yeah, it's okay. So the fourth one told him, it's okay. So he got married. 3 months later, he's divorced. And he blames the astrologer. So we are trying to use the Vedic sciences again for our purposes. Which they are there. It is there. The Vedas are actually very practical. So then it is there, we can use it. But there is always the small print. You want to eat meat? Okay, kill the goat and then you can eat meat. But you will be born again, so then the goat can take the advantage of killing you next lifetime. So wait for that. What's the use? So therefore, as a Vaishnava, we don't get bothered with this. To read a chart, it's very tricky. If you have a non-devotee astrologer reading your chart, then you will get rich here and you will get rich there. Because he knows, and even if he's very renewed, perfect astrologer, he will tell you these things, he will be wrong. In the case of devotees, he will be wrong. He knows the influence of the 9 planets on you when you were born, and based on that, he can predict. What he doesn't know, influence of Krishna on the planets and on you. So that the devotee who is surrendered to the Lord, Krishna may not give him any karma. be it good or bad. It doesn't matter. So if we get so much engrossed, and yes, when I get rich. Okay, if you want to get rich, then you may, but it will not be good for you. A devotee who maybe he was supposed to get rich, but Krishna just will arrange that he will not get rich because it's not good for him at that time. So the devotee, when devotee is surrendered, he can take it. Whatever you want, Krishna. So he benefits. But if he, no, it's my right, I have it in the chart. Okay, Krishna gives it. But with that, everything else comes. So, and to know about what we are supposed to expect, it's very dangerous because you keep expecting it. Oh, I'm supposed to, tomorrow I'm supposed to get rich. So, no, now, okay, I'm waiting. So today, no chanting rounds, today, no nothing, no, I'm just waiting because tomorrow it's exciting, no, I'll get rich. And if I don't, then do I say, well, okay, didn't happen. No, the astrologer was wrong. Krishna is mean to me. I don't like the devotees. Somebody else took it from me. It's everybody else's fault but me. So it creates only troubles. See the chart, to see the horoscope is good, to see what traits may be there. Okay, I may have some difficulty in this period now with some. So how to counteract it? No, see Guru Sadhu. Okay, get engaged in devotional service. Maybe this particular devotional service will be better for you, than anything else. Okay, you want to stay Nashtika Brahmachari, then in this period you may have problem. You may have difficulty with your mind. So don't do service together with Matajis at that time. Maybe go for some preaching with Brahmacharis and just be always in association with Brahmacharis and sannyasis. That's beneficial, that's good. That helps us in our devotional service.
So what you're telling me is that if we use the tool with the idea that my goal is to surrender to Guru Sadhu and Sadhguru.
If you use it and then you can always keep in mind your goal, it's good. What I'm saying that the New Age techniques are very dangerous because they will mislead you from your goal. You will get attracted so much by the glittering sentences and everything. You get so much power. You can use this and you will be mystical and then you forget that actually you are supposed to surrender. So you will get completely misguided. Yes. Actually, if you say the culture, it's actually the religion, and it contains everything. That's the lifestyle. Part of the lifestyle, the philosophy is, yes, they go very much together. So if you are looking for something else not to apply, then it's rasa bhas. We may be able to take the nectar from the dirty place. But then we will not sit down in a dirty place to enjoy the nectar. See, or we will not glorify the dirty place that we took the nectar from. Now we have the nectar. Deal with the nectar. Forget the dirty place. Anything else?
Okay. Yeah, I won't be here tomorrow. So then we will have class on Monday.
And will be back Monday also?
I think from Tuesday.
Oh.
I think he's coming back on Monday, so he will not be here in the morning. So then, you know, then on Monday, same time, same place.
It's 7, right?
Yeah. 7:10. Okay, so you got the 12th chapter, yeah?
Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Hare